Kumalana Black Gemara, we are up to Dafnun Gimel Amet Aleph. We're just talking about a few things about Shemitah. So we're talking about this Man Habir, when is the time that you have to finally, when the animals out in the field no longer in the wild have what to eat, you have to get rid of the crop that you have inside the house. So the domestic animals, you got to put it outside, make it Hefker, or you got to destroy it, depending which region you follow. So we're up to six lines from the top. And we learned there were three regions in Eretz Yisrael. And each region then relies on its own whenever the end of its season is. And within that region, you look at the furthest, you know, any part of that region, where the latest time for this particular food is over. That's when this man beer is. Tell me what we learned. Oichlin ba'anovim, you can eat grapes ad sheyichlu duloya shel oichel. Eat grapes until the vines in the city called Oichel or Evel is gone. That's the last place where they have it growing. And then that's as Mambir is. Im yesh mulchorim hen. But if there happens to be other grapes, vines growing in that region later than those, oichlin aleihen. You can continue eating until those vines are over. When it comes to olives, to the last olives that grow in the place of the koya, because they're usually the most abundant amount of olives, and therefore they're the last ones. To the last place in Usher's section, because that's where they actually had lots of olives growing. So Gush Cholov is, look over there. And what's the idea? Kidei shehei oni, that a poor person yoitze, and will go out to that area to search for more olives. Ve'einu moitze, cannot find any olives. Loi benoifer, not in the branch. Loi bekore, not in the roots. Until then, you can eat olives everywhere. But once, when we say olive, you can eat olives, even those olives you have sitting inside your house, you're allowed to eat. But once there's no longer olives in Gush Cholov, then you got to take all the olives from your house and put it outside, so anybody can come and get it. And how much we're talking about? Not to find even one olive. Reiva oichlin, a quarter of a kav. A quarter of a kav, which is the amount a quarter of a kav. And that is how many, what he calls, which is a loig, which is the equivalent of six eggs in dry measure. If you find less than those amount of olives, that's what this man beer is. Begroigus, when it comes to dried figs, achiyichlu page beis hinei, until the figs in a place called beis hinei, that's when they stop growing, because usually you dry the figs are not the best quality figs. So these are page, are we learned already before. These are figs that never really grow to full size, they never really mature, and when those figs stop growing, that's when you have to stop eating the dry dates in place. Omer Rav Yehuda, Lohus Gru Pagi, I disagree. This Beis Hinei, when do we use this as a litmus test? Those immature figs in a place called Beis Hinei, Ela Inya Maisa, when it comes to giving Maisa Pagi Beis Hinei, Vai Hinei Tiyuva, Chayim Maisa. Because the only mention that is that those ones never get any more ripe than they already are, and therefore you're chayiv and maisa, but nothing to do with when it comes to this man beer for Shemitah. He disagrees. Just look at the last place. Says the Gemara further, and we had before already as well. Oichlin b'tmoni eat dates achiyich lahar achra shebet soya. Dates you can have till the last ones growing in soya. Rashba goymer oichlin, you can eat al shel bein hakipin, whether it grows. Only those that grow between the branches, anything that grows between the thorns, the animals will not go over. Even though you find that there's something dates growing there, it's not a bellwether to decide whether it's manbir or not. But Aminu, we ask a question, we learned elsewhere, we're given timelines. Grapes you can eat until Pesach, and zeisim olives ad atzedes until shvuas, and gregers and dried figs ad chanukah till chanukah, and tamarim and dates ad apurim till purim. He switches around. He says that dried figs until Purim and dates is until Chanukah, but nothing to do with what you said before about all those regions. So we answer, it's not a question. We explained to you why is it that this is Pesach and this is Shavuot, so on, because in each one, in each particular type of, you know, olives or grapes or whatever it is, and dates and so on, because they grow to that year, to that time period in those different places that we mentioned. So it's the same shear. Or ibois a mahoktani behadi, but clearly said, im yeshmu ucharis mehem. It clearly said that Imah will give you a timeline, but if you know for a fact that there are later ones out there, oichlin alein, you may continue eating. You may continue eating. So these ones that we're telling you that these grow sometimes longer. So the price is giving you a general timeline, but the first price is telling you that, you know, something, look in these areas, because sometimes you might get a longer time period for this manbir. Tanya Shimula says, Simon Lahori, and what grows best in mountains is milin golna juice. Simon Lamoki, and what grows best on valleys, the kali, in palm trees, and Simon Lenacholim, and what's best that grows in the cholim by these creeks and is kanim, reeds. And Simon Lashvela, what grows best on a flat plain, is shikma, which is sycamore trees. But Ava Bishan Lai, we don't have any proof of what I'm just saying right now. We'll soon see Mainav Kamina. What are you telling us this about? What's best for mountains? What's best for valleys? We'll see in a minute. A simon is Shinemar. It says in the Pasuk, Vayiten HaMelech HaZakeseh B'Yishalayim, and the king gave out silver in Yishalayim, Ka'avonim, like stones. No, there was so much there. V'Sarozim, the cedar trees, Nosen B'Shikmim, and he gave like the sycamore trees, Asher B'Shvela L'Roiv, just like there's so many sycamore trees growing B'Shvela on flatlands L'Roiv, so too, there were so many cedar trees. So we see clearly that Shikma B'Shvela have a Pasuk suggesting that. So the only lie we have a pasuk is regarding the sycamore trees. Now we want to go through all of them and say, what's the difference? Similar to milin, similar to calling. You said for mountains is golden juice, and for amokim, for valleys is palm trees, nafkamina. Why do you have to know? Libikurim. When it comes to bringing bikurim, you have to give for the best quality from the seven minim that Israel is blessed with. And you got to give, since it's the praise of Israel, you got to give for the best that you have. So he's saying, now we learn, you only bring bikurim from the seven minim. So therefore, I want you to bring v'loim. Don't bring me from palm trees that grow on mountains, because that's not very good quality. Bring me the palm trees that grow in the valleys. Don't bring me the grains that are growing in the valley. They don't grow very well, because there the water, as Ashi explains, the water sits there for a long time, becomes very muddy, and doesn't grow well. It grows better on the mountains. Then you told us, simon l'cholim, a simon for these creeks is kanim, reeds. Well, I'd have to know that for. Nafkamina l'nachal esa, when it comes to eglarufa, you have to have, you bring the egla, you bring the calf, when you found a dead body, a corpse, and you know, which city is guilty or culpable for allowing this person to walk away on their own, on his own, or her own. So, they would bring this egla arufa, they would cut open and say, you know, we didn't do this, it's not our fault. So they bring it to, it has to be a nachal eson, and it has to be growing weeds nearby. Otherwise, it's not referred to as a nachal. Similar shreila, sign for flatland, the sycamore trees, nafkamina, what do we need to know that for? Lemekach memcha. If a guy says, I'm going to sell you flatlands, a plateau there has to be sycamore trees growing. Hashtag does lochi, now that you deduce the idea when it comes to a sale, these are the requirements, then everything else we said also is, I'm selling you a mountain, there has to be palm trees on it and so on. So there has to be, not palm trees, golden trees. So your valley should be palm trees. So there has to be some kind of a sign that this is exactly what I asked to buy. Okay, now we're going to learn about other things, nothing to do with Pesach. We're just talking about different traditions, different minhagim. So this Mishnah here, we have Revelim in Masechta Avodah Zarah, and we have it here again. You're not allowed, your animals have to rest on Shabbos. So you're not allowed to lend it to a goy, a large animal that they can use for working, with a cow, because they're going to use it on Shabbos, and your animal is working on Shabbos. Nor can you sell it right before Shabbos, because they're scared, by the time the deal's over and everything else will be a minute before Shabbos, and the animal refuses to go with the goy, and you're going to have to then beckon the animals to follow the goy, because you sold it, you know, properly. And then, because the animal's walking and carrying things on Shabbos because of you, that's called mechamer, you're doing an avera. So, now what about not large animals that work in your field? Smaller animals, they'll do any work whatsoever. So there's some place to have a minig not to sell those either, because if a gzera you sell those to a goy, you're going to sell others to a goy, even the big ones, and others don't have that minig. So makish shenogolim kebehema daklin nochim, those places that have a custom to sell the small animals like sheep and goats and all that, and ma'ichin, there's no problem, you can sell it. Makim shaloy nohogolim kebehema the minig, however, in the place is not to sell it, then ein ma'ichin, we do not sell it. And then the Mishnah, however, says, but the halacha is everywhere. You don't sell them large animals, because next time you're going to lend it to them, or you're going to rent it them, hire to them, and your animal is working for you on Shabbos. Or because you are going to, you know, get, if you sell right before Shabbos, you're going to get your animal to go on Shabbos, and therefore it's as if you are doing mechamer. You don't sell them large animals. A golem, calves, siachim, and some old donkey, young donkeys, shleimin, whole ones, ushvurim, and broken ones. Even though these are animals that don't really do work for you, because they're so similar to larger animals and broken animals, let's say animals have a broken leg, are very similar to whole animals. Therefore, they were goys. You shouldn't sell these animals to a goy either. Rabbi Yehuda is mati b'shvura. He says, by an animal a broken leg or something, no problem, because the goy can get rid of it straight away, so there's nothing there that will tell you, oh, it's the Eid's animal, maybe lent him, and so on and so forth, it'll be gone. And therefore, people won't make a mistake and think, well, if I sell him an animal with a broken foot, which you can't do anything with it, you can't work with it, all you can do with it is kill it. Next time I'm going to sell an animal that you could work with it, people are not going to make that leap. Ben Pseida says, matid, he allows even besus, a horse. He says he allows to sell horses to them because horses don't go plowing. Horses are mainly for carrying people. And carrying people on Shabbos is only midirabbanon. It's only midirabbanon because Chaynoi says, atzmai, we learned before, a living person carries himself. It's only midirabbanon, you might pull a branch off a tree and hit it so you can travel. So riding horses is only midirabbanon. So we're not going to make a double gzera and say you shouldn't sell to them a horse because next time you might lend it to them. We're not going to say you shouldn't lend them a horse and so on and so forth. We're not worried about that because your animal's not really working for you on Shabbos. says the Gemara, so there's no problem in selling to them. We're not worried the next time you're going to lend it, because even if you did lend it, your animal's not doing an Easter in the Torah carrying people on Shabbos. Then on a totally different matter, talk about Minhagim. Obviously, Korban Pesach was made only in Yerushalayim on the Beis HaMikdash, and they should make it in a special way, we'll see later. So the question is, can you go ahead and roast an entire lamb on Pesach? Mokum shenogu lechel sli b'leil of sochim, we'll see later, if the minig is that you do eat roasted on Pesach, oichel you can eat, and mokum shenogu shaloi lechel, ein oichel, the minig is not to eat, then you do not eat on Pesach anything that's roast. By the way, that's the halacha. We don't eat by the Seder. We say Pesach, I mean the Seder night. So it shouldn't look like you're eating cotton Pesach. At that night, we have nothing which is roast. And even a pot roast is a whole question we had before. Remember about a pot roast, if you're over or not over, you had a machlekes. So the meaning is that we don't have, the only way you can have roast and all that is by adding liquid into it, so that therefore it's very different than a tzeli. Second, but I'm going to read it out. So Yehuda's in Yerunav. Osir loy, this is a fascinating halacha, and this is halacha Shulchan Aruch. Osir loy la Adam, the person is forbidden, Shiyema, to say, Bosa ze le Pesachu. A person is not to say, even this meat is for Pesach. In other words, you're not allowed to say, your wife is not allowed to tell you, go to the woodshop and buy meat for Pesach. Those words is a problem. Because Pesach can mean carbon Pesach, and even though the meat is very all cut up and geshacht and everything else, nevertheless, it looks like you are buying or you're going to have kachim outside of Yerushalayim. What you should say is, buy meat for Yom Tov, not buy meat for Pesach. Also, you're not allowed to say, I'm buying this meat for Pesach. It appears as if he is making, he's sanctifying his animal, the oichel kachim b'chutz, and is eating kachim outside. I'm a papa, a papa. Davke boser, only when it comes to meat. Avol chiti loy, when it comes to wheat, for example, to buy matzah, you're allowed to say buy matzah for Pesach, because what you mean was the mintel lepischach ka'amar. You meant to say is that one matzah, that's kosher lepesach, that's shmur and so on and so forth. Therefore, no problem. Says the Gemara, u boser loy, so the Gemara doesn't like it. The Gemara says, why can't you say the same thing by meat? You don't necessarily mean that I want meat for carbon. Maybe he meant I want meat to make sure that it's not pesach, that it's not chametz, it's pesach, and so on. Anyway, by the way, there's some opinion that say when we say you're not allowed to meat, you're not allowed to even say regarding fish as well. There's one opinion, not even fish, because fish can be called meat. So you're not allowed to say let's buy fish for pesach. You say buy fish for Yom Tov. Fascinating halacha. Yeah, and that's halacha that nobody's aware of, but it's a whole siman in Shulchan Aruch. It's not just one line. It's a whole siman in Shulchan Aruch, Tav Samach Tes. If you have a chance to look it up, it's a small siman, but the entire Tav Samach Tes 469 talks about these halachas. Okay, so let's go a little further. Major, I'll ask a question. You're telling me that you're not allowed to say I'm buying meat for Pesach, but we learned elsewhere that it's only in a certain case, limited to the following. Amar Rabbi Yehi said, Rabbi Yezi said that Toidais, we had him a few times, Toidais ish Raimi, Toidais is from Rome, he led the people in Rome, lechol, to actually eat, gediyim mikulosim belele psachim. Forget about roast. They used to take an entire goat, and he used to go tell them that they should tie it up, and take the entire animal, and grill it on Pesach, for Pesach night. And Sholcholoi, they sent them a message, and they said to him, "Il mole Toidus, after if you wouldn't be such a great man as Toidus, is Gozarno lechanidi would have put you in chedim for encouraging people to do it. Sha'atem machles, you saw kochim bechutz, you're making them eat kochim outside." So he got them to take the goat and basically resemble what they did in Beis Hamikdash, put the head between the knees and so on, just like the Korban Pesach. And the knees were sort of sticking on the outside and the sides, and lifted it up like somebody who carries weapons on the side of his clothing. Says the Gemara, first of all, kochim, did he tell them to bring it as a carbon? Just say, it looks like you're giving them to eat a carbon Pesach outside of Yisrael. But what's our question? It says here, when were they upset with him, Mikulis in, only because he took the entire animal and the way he had them, they tie him up in order to roast it. Avshayim goes, but stop meat, kishachim already, there's no issue. So why do you come along in a rav and say, Nalaru, eat grilled meat on Pesach, by the Seder? Sigmar says, no, you don't understand. Mikulis, if he did the chamer upset, if you did it this way, you tied the sides together, then loishna omar, loishna lo omar, makes absolutely no difference whether you did say, whether you didn't say, I'm doing it for Pesach, and I'll do that. Chamer says, it doesn't matter what you say, the activity alone resembles a current Pesach. But when it comes to she'ena mikulis, tam, you grilled meat, or meat, pidish in, if you say you're buying the meat for Pesach, it's a problem. A beloy pidush, if he did not say clearly you're buying for Pesach, buying for Yom Tov, then loy is not a problem. Avacha Masl, Hamasis, and Rab Shimon. Avacha learned this mission of Toidus following Rab Shimon. That wasn't Rab Yehi said it. It was actually Rab Shimon who said that Toidus was the one who gave out this meat, told him to eat the goat, tied up, and so on and so forth. Now, what Rab Shimon, what Rab Yehi, we'll see in a minute. Our version of Rab Yehi said this in the name of Toidus, and Rab Acha said, no, it was actually Rab Shimon who said the name of it. What's going on here? Maskel Rab Shimon said, Bishtoy, Elaman Ton Rab Yehi, the one who loves Rab Yehi, Nich, makes sense. Elaman Ton Rab Shimon, Nich, how can you say Rab Shimon is the one who said it? Why not? Because what now we learned, Rab Shimon, Poite, a guy says, I'm going to bring a mincha, a flour offering to the Beis HaMikdash out of barley. Now the problem is, all flour offerings, if it's an offering, is made out of wheat. And by saying, I'm going to bring a mincha, if he would have stopped right there, he would have been bound to bring a carbon mincha out of flour. However, then he come along and he sort of altered it, he said, from barley. So what should you do? So the Tanakhama says, you follow the first words he said, and you got to bring wheat. I later, you contradict himself, ignore it. Rab Shimon says, no, he doesn't have to bring any carbon mincha. Why? Because you listen not just to the first words he says, to the opening part of it, also to the end. And therefore, he intended to carry out exactly what he said. And he wanted to bring a mincha out of barley. And this guy, for whatever reason, thought that you couldn't donate a mincha out of barley, maybe that's all he can afford, and he thought you could do that. And therefore, what he said is meaningless, because you cannot bring a mincha out of barley. So the same thing over here. If you take this goat all tied up, this is not really a carbon Pesach because you didn't say Pesach. We're talking about over here You didn't say, you didn't, in order to be a Korban Pesach, you have to take a sheep and nominate it as a Korban Pesach while it's alive. You never did that. And even afterwards, nowhere does it say in Traders' case, nominated a Korban Pesach. He never did. And even if you did it once it was on the roast, it doesn't matter. It's not how you do a Korban Pesach. You have to nominate it while it's still alive. So therefore, Rav Shimon says, Shelo yisnadiv kederecha misnadim. Rav Shimon says, in the case of the mincha from the barley, he says, because you didn't do it the normal way, because there is no mincha mel al barley. Same thing over here. According to Rav Shimon, you shouldn't say it resembles a Korban Pesach. You didn't do it the normal way a Korban Pesach is done. Therefore, there's nothing to it. So why is it a problem? Must be we're following Rabbi Yossi. And because we're following Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yossi is the one who says has a problem bringing a Korban Pesach, even though you didn't nominate it as a Pesach. Even though you didn't do it the way a normal Pesach is done, it looks like a Pesach, and that's a problem. Says the Gemara, and why do you think Rabbi Yossi is any better? You know why he says potter when he said mincha from barley? Because Rabbi Yossi is the one who says that you also listen to the last words. Rabbi Yossi is not talking about that particular case. He's talking about a case where a guy says, I'm going to bring this animal here is an exchange of an oila, tumuras oila, and then he says it's an exchange of a shlamim. So it's two different dinim. An oila, you know, is fully consecrated on the mizbeach. A shlamim, you eat most of the meat. An oila, nobody eats. A shlamim, you have a day, 2 days in the night. So what do you do in this case? So Rameh says you listen to the first word. The first word he said was a tamura, an exchange of an oila. So this new animal becomes an oila. However, Beishi says, no, he meant to be both. And he couldn't say, you know, shlamim for, he couldn't say both words at the same time. So there had to be an order. He said one first, one another, but he meant both. But he meant the first and the last words. So since Rab Shimon based his whole opinion on Rabbi Yossi, that he means also the last words, and then he said, and since it's not the normal way, nothing happens, we don't discount the last words and leave the first words in place in a case where the last words cannot be, you know, followed through. He says the whole thing falls apart. So since Rab Shimon holds Rabbi Yossi, logic says Rabbi Yossi probably holds like Rab Shimon, the same thing, that not only we listen to the last words and if it can be done, fine. Because what in the case of Tumuras Oilim Shlomo, what you do is you sell the animal and half the money you buy another animal to make an oila, and half the money you buy another animal to make a shlamim. So you could carry out both. Over here, Mincha Sa'edim, since you cannot carry out Sa'edim, so Rav Shimon Lever says, he says you do it the normal way, nothing happens. You can't do half of it, nothing happens. Maybe Rav Yeshua holds like Rav Shimon as well, that nothing happens. And therefore, according to him, the Korban Pesach also, it's not a Korban Pesach, because you didn't do the normal way. So you're asking, so what's the difference if the author of Shimon or the author of Yasi? Either way, it doesn't really work. So Gemara asks, Omer Rav Rav said, Shimon, Beshit Rav Shimon follows Rav Yasi, Omer Af Begmar Dvar of Adon. If a person also follows what the ending of his words, my love, I must conclude, Mid Rav Shimon, Sovelok Rav Yasi. Rav Shimon based his whole, predicated his opinion on Rav Yasi, holds you listen to both words that he said, the first and the last. And then he says, since he didn't do the normal way, nothing happens. So Rav Yasi, Nami Sovelok Rav Shimon, Rav Yasi, Rav Shimon as well. Since he's the one who says you listen to both words, probably agrees with Rav Shimon, and therefore says, if any of the words cannot take place, nothing happens. Says, well, I know. Who said that Rab Shimon Sovelok Rab Shimon Rab Yossi, he listened to the last words and then he says if he couldn't do all of it, nothing happened. Belay Rab Yossi Sovelok Shimon. Rab Yossi does not hold like Rab Shimon. That Rab Yossi does not hold like Rab Shimon. Maybe Rab Yossi holds you listen to the backwards, but if the last words can't work out, then at least you listen to the first words. So here also it looks a little like Korban Pesach, even though you didn't do it exactly, but it resembles it to a extent, that your activity, the way you made it, and therefore you shouldn't do that. Says the Gemara, okay, the only reason why he didn't attack him is and because Rabbi Yossi holds that a person does not waste his words, and therefore if he said two things, and even though I listened to both things, if the second thing he said cannot be carried out, at least the first thing, because nobody says words for naught. So the same with Korban Pesach over here will be a problem. Now who is this Taitus? Why didn't the Chachamim banish him? Says the Gemara, Iboilu, we have a question. Toides ish Remi Gavra Rabahavi, was he talk a big Talmud Chacham and out of his cover they didn't banish him? Like we learned yesterday, we try to mitigate the punishments we give to a Talmud Chacham, especially Toides, he was like the head of Rome. Oy Bala Grafen, I wasn't Talmud Chacham, he's a strong man, he was an iron man, and people were scared of him, intimidated from him. That's why they didn't bother him. Toshma coming here. We have a beautiful drosha from Toides, which tells us that Toides actually was a big tzaddik. Toides ish Roimi, Toides from Roim, he once said, Ma ro Hananya Mishol Vazarya, Why did Hananiah, Mishael, V'Azariah deem it necessary Shemosru Atzman al Kedusha Hashem, they were prepared to throw themselves into the fire, Lekivshon Eish, they threw themselves in the fire not to bow down to the statue of Nuchanetzat, and they were Moisin Nefesh. What caused them to be Moisin Nefesh? Right, because Nuchanetzat built this big statue, and he wanted to force Hananiah, Mishael, V'Azariah to bow down to him. And the ultimatum was otherwise they get thrown into this furnace. And he wanted all the Eden to follow them. And miraculously they were saved. So comes on Titan and said, where did he learn it from? He said this. Nosu kavachayme ba'atzvan from this week's parsha. Mitzvardim from the frogs. Umatzvardim madov, the frogs. She'ein mitzuvin al kiddush Hashem. They don't have a mitzvah of kiddush Hashem. And yet, Ksibahu, it says, what happened? Ubohu olech v'olo be'secha. The frogs came in and went into your house, and they went into all the different rooms. Plus, they went into the tanud, umisha re'secha. They went into the ovens and boiling hot and so on and so forth. And went to all the leftover food. So what did they do? They went into all these hot places. And then it says, Ei mesayim misharos. When do you have over there these bowls that you put in, you know, preparing all the food for the ovens? Where do you have them normally placed? Right next to the oven. When? How do you aim your shatan? Because you always heat up the oven first to get it hot before you put the food in. So therefore, the frogs were putting themselves, their lives, on the line. We who have a mitzvah of kiddush Hashem, surely we should jump in. He said that verse. What a beautiful verse. So it must be a tzaddik. Tases and all the Hashem have a problem already. You need a kavachayim of frogs. There's a mitzvah, three mitzvahs that a person has to be prepared to die for. One is avodah zarah. So what's the big deal? What's the big deal? What do you need a kavachayim from frogs? And Rashi says they should have dashen v'chai behem v'loy shiyamas, live and not die. What do you mean? But three avodahs we learned that you have to be prepared to die for. Now, first of all, we already had this a little bit before in Pesachim, but it's an head and we'll have. Not everyone agrees. It's a machlekes. But apart from that, another problem is even not the three Avedis. It says if they wanted to give up your religion and in public in front of a lot of people, even for Arkas and Masana, even just a shoelace, you have to be Maisa Nefesh. So of course, that has to be Maisa Nefesh. So Tosis gives a few answers. One answer is it wasn't Avedis Zodah, it was a statue. It was just a statue he did to glorify himself. But he wanted them to bow down so people should think that they're prostrating themselves before Avedis Zodah, so they'll make it easy for everybody else. They didn't have to die. There's another reason. They had ample time to escape, and they didn't have to go through the whole exercise. They deliberately decided to remain here and to show the people they are steadfastly going to refuse to bow down for the statue. And that they didn't have to do. And therefore, we learn that from the Kalachemer, from the frogs. Says the Gemara, who was this Titus? Besides being a doctor, we'll have him also in other places that he gave some medical advice and about different parts of the animals. Rabbi Yitzhak Avin Amar, Rabbi Yitzhak said, you know what his greatness was? Not his learning. His greatness was his charity. Matil Malay, you know what he did was? That Matil Malay, he used to give Schoire Lekisha Tamid Rechamim. He gave Schoire to the Tamid Rechamim to enable them to sell it and make a few dollars and make a living so they can live with cover. They don't have to stand there and online and collect tzedakah of the community. They can live with cover and have a good business. So he would help them out. He would give them merchandise very, very cheap so that they can sell it and make a living so they can continue learning. Anybody who gives schoir, merchandise, to a Talmud Chacham so that they can make quick and easy money, so that they can learn, will merit that he will also sit in Yeshiva Shlomayla in Gan Eden. Remember it says, "Ki betzel ha-chochme in the shadow of chochme is betzel ha-kesev," is the shadow or protection of the money. If you give money, then you will sit together with those people of the wisdom in Gan Eden. So that was his greatness. Interesting. So one said the greatness was his learning, his scholarship, and or his piety, and the other one said his greatness was his tzedakah, or his generosity. Okay, the next mission, again, nothing to do with Pesach, Mokim, but this is a din that we all know, but at least here we're going to explain the origins of it. Mokim, first of all, there's a machlekes. We light candles every Friday night. We also light candles every Yom Tov. We learn from Shabbos. What about on Yom Kippur? There's an argument whether you light candles in Kippur night or not. What's the argument? I mean, we don't have the idea of Oinig on Yom Kippur and all that, but what's the argument whether you light or not? The argument is you're not allowed to have one of the five inuyim, you're not allowed to have any marital relations with your wife. you know, have tashmish. So the argument is, which is the best way to avoid it? Having light in the room or not having light in the room? They're both trying to say the same thing, but one of them thinks by having light in the room is better, and one of them thinks by not having light in the room is better. So says the Gemara, if the meaning is to light, you light. You light. When the meaning is not to light, you don't light. Because those who say you do light hold that since you're not supposed to have relations in when it's lit around you, so therefore that'll help you avoid it. Other ones that forget. If you see your wife, you might be enticed. So therefore you shouldn't have it. But they both mean the same thing. But madlikin bebotik in a see is we do light in shul and botim medroshes and base medrash, ubimavoyas hamafalofim in the dark streets, agabi chaylim, and also for those people who are sick. For those people, of course, you're all light. We're talking about not just to see, we're talking about the covered Yom Kippur. So I think about it further. Talking we learned, Bein Sha'amru Lahadli, whether those people have a meaning to light. Or Bein Sha'amru Shaloy Lahadli, those people have a meaning not to light. Shnei Dorech and Skabim, they're both doing for the same reason. Omer B'shua Dorish Rav Rav Adashin, Va'amech Kulam Tzadikim, your nation are full of Tzadikim, Lo'olam Yishu Oros, will inherit the land. Beisha Amru Lahadik, whether they said, let's light on Yom Kippur. Beisha Amru Shaloy Lahadik, they said, let's not light on Yom Kippur. They're both doing it for the same reason. Omri Mimr Shmuel, talking about lighting candles. You talked about Friday night. Let me talk to you about Mitzvah Shabbos and Mitzvah Yom Kippur. Ein Mevarchin Ala Ur, he said, you do not light at all on fire. Elab Mitzvah Shabbos. You don't light a fire only on Mitzvah Shabbos. Why do we light a fire on Mitzvah Shabbos? We'll see a bit more about tomorrow. Hoyil v'tchilas b'riyosihu. That's when, you know, other magician had the intuition to strike two flintstones and the fire came out. So it came out on Mitzvah Shabbos. That's why we light candles to remember that. Omle v'savidem Rabba Rochana Yosha. So Rabba Rochana said that it's good. That it's good. That what? That you're right. In fact, Rabbi Yechon said the same thing. You do not light candles on Mitzvah Yom Kippur. You don't do Bar Mar Eish by Havdol on Mitzvah Yom Kippur. Ula Ula Havi Rochiv Chamra. Ula was riding a donkey. V'ozel. And going. V'avishokiv Ozel was walking behind him. Rabbi Abba Yimin. Rabbi Abba was on his right side. V'rabba Barba Chonim V'smole. Rabbi Chonim was on his left side. Is it true what they say in the name of Rabbi Yechonon? Ein mevorchin ala ur ele b'motzei Shabbos. You do not make boyde moyde eish only on Motzei Shabbos, not on Motzei Kippur. And ha'il chilas b'yasuk, that's when it was created. Hader ula turned around. Chazabe b'Rabba Bachana. He realized it came from Rabba Bachana, who quoted in the name of Rabbi Yechonon that you don't light fire on Motzei Kippur. So he looked at him and bishes. He gave him one look. A really dirty look, an angry look, and because it's not true, I don't believe Rabbi Yechon ever said that. I believe Rabbi Yechon said that on Matzah Shabbos and on Matzah Yom Kippur you do Boda Mareish. And why? Since on Yom Kippur you couldn't light a candle, so Matzah Yom Kippur is like a brand new thing, and therefore now that you're having Hana from the candle, you're making a bracha because you're having Hana from the fire. Amalei, so Bachana understood right away why he was upset, and he said to him, I never said that Rabbi Yechonon said that only on Motzei Shabbos and Kippur. Ella ho amri. I said regarding another matter, people misunderstood what I said. Tani Tanakam Rabbi Yechonon, a Tani learned from Rabbi Yechonon of Shimon Los Angeles says, Yom Kippur Chobishab, we have an argument whether you light on Yom Kippur by night. What happened to Kippur on the Shabbos? Besides Shabbos, you do light Friday night, or besides Yom Kippur, you shouldn't. What do you do then? Yom Kippurim Shechol Elias B'Shabbos Abim Mokim Sha'omru Shlo L'Hadlik. Even those communities that generally Yom Kippur do not light, Madlikim Nekov Shabbos, comes Friday night, they should light. They should light because Al Shabbos, not Al Yom Kippur, but Al Shabbos. It overrides the problem you have with Yom Kippur about Tashmish. Va'oni Rabbi Yechon Masei, Rabbi Yechon right away responded, but Chachomim Oisim, those people who do not light Yom Kippur by night, they wouldn't light Yom Kippur by night even if it coincides with Shabbos. They wouldn't that light even then. Amalei, that's what happened. Ador Tehe, I agree with you, let it be this way. I agree, that's exactly what Rabbi Yechonon said. In other words, according to Rabbi Chana and according to Ula, Rabbi Yechonon holds that you do make a bracha b'Yom Kippur and Motzei Shabbos. Motzei Shabbos is created, Motzei Yom Kippur is because the first time you can have pleasure, you make a bracha for the pleasure.
And what Rabbi Yechonon and Rabbi Chalom was referring to Rabbi Yechonon, that he says that you don't on Yom Kippur, it's from a Friday night. Yom Kippur in the beginning of Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur falls out on Shabbos. If your minig is not to light on Yom Kippur night, nor do you light then. Now, but what happened here? Nothing was said between Ula and Rabbi Chana, but Rabbi Chana right away figured out what Ula wanted, and he was able, in other words, Ula teased out of Rabbi Chana exactly what he should have said just by a look. So Rabbi Yosef made a comment on this. Kol Rabbi Yosef, Mayim Amukim. He says over here that very deep water, Eitzah B'Levish, that sometimes you have to tease out of a person. Sometimes you have to tease out of a person the wisdom. It's like deep, deep waters, which is what happened over here. Which is this there was no conversation between Ula and Rabbi. Just gave him a look, and that was enough. So that's what Ula did. Ula had thinking deep inside him. What did Rabbi Chana do? And he gave him a look, and that's how it got out of him. And Rabbi Chana understood. And Ve'ish Tvun, and his fellow intelligent person, understood it straight away. Yidlena, an intelligent person, then will take it out, will draw it out. Mayim will draw it out. So he explains now. Mayim amukim eitzah b'levish. That your eitzah in your heart, like deep water, is that Ula. That was Ula that he gave one look, and that was enough. In other words, Ula understood from Rab Abba's remarks that it was Rabbi Chana who said it. Rab Abba never said who said it. And Ula understood it was Rabbi Chana, and therefore he thought Rabbi Chana made a mistake in what he said in Rabbi Yechon's name. But all he did was he gave him a look. But each Tvuni had landed Rabbi Chana. He understood exactly what Ula was thinking when he gave him that look, and therefore he explained himself. Says the Gemara, V'in hu k'man sabrua. So what do they hold like? Ula and Rabba, they both say that Rabba Abba says that you don't do Bari Mare Eish Matzah Yom Kippur. And they hold, you do Bari Mare Eish Yom Kippur. What they hold, Ki Yodah Rabba Mare Fem Yechon and Mevorchen Ala Ur, you do make a bracha Bari Mare Eish, Bein Bim Matzah Yom Shabbos, Bein Matzah Yom Kippur. Whether it's Matzah Yom Shabbos, or whether it is Matzah Yom Kippur. V'chein Amar Debar, and that is the custom, that we make a Bari Mare Eish Yom Kippur. Now the Gemara will clarify that. Maybe I'll ask you a question. We learned Ein Mevorach on the Lord El Matzei Shabbos. Holy Brachos Yehuda says clearly only Matzei Shabbos. The Kibbutz Shirei Mevorach. And when do you make the Bracha Matzei Shabbos? There's an argument whether you make it by Avdolah or the first opportunity you have. The Kibbutz Shirei Mevorach Miyad. As soon as you see a fire, you make a Bracha straight away. Rabbi Yehuda says no. Soid Nalakos. Wait till Avdolah and you bring all together the fire as well. Bring my Avdolah. So what are you telling me? That it says that everyone, the halach is on Mitzvah Yom Kippur, you make a bracha by the Meir Eish, when it says clearly the Braisa, only Mitzvah Shabbos. And because that's the beginning of creation of fire. So you're like, Kasha, Kan be'or she'shavas. If the fire, let's say you had a fire, like a yard site lit or something from before Yom Kippur, so it rested the entire Shabbos. So therefore, it did not do any Aveda whatsoever. And Ashi gives an example for even a sick person. If you lit on Yom Kippur for a sick person who was dying, which you're allowed to, that's also called Nezhe Shavas. So either from before Yom Kippur, or you know, is it Havdolah, when you make Bari Ma'esh on Mitzvah Yom Kippur, it has to be from a fire, either that was lit before Yom Kippur, or that was lit on Yom Kippur in a way that was permitted. And the bracha you're making here is, because it's a chiddush, you couldn't have Hanah from a new fire all day until now. And kan be'ura yetzim and etzim in avodim. And when we say you shouldn't do it, is if you light a new fire on Matzah Yom Kippur, then you don't make a bracha Matzah, since it didn't exist on Yom Kippur. So there's nothing novel about this, and therefore you don't make a bracha only on Matzah Shabbos. Because Matzah Shabbos doesn't matter you lit it right now, it's because of Brius Ayr. Okay, we'll stop right now, continue tomorrow.